As we dive into God's Word together, we continue our series today entitled Deeper. Deeper. We're talking about growing deeper in Christ, which, by the way, is a command of God to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And today we're talking about going and making disciples. We just sang along with Ukrainian believers. That's pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah, singing together with Ukrainian Christians today, just say, our God's mighty to save here and all around the world. And we said, shine your light. We're singing today, shine your light. That's what God's called us to do. A deep walk with Jesus will lead to a wide witness. A deep walk with Jesus will lead to a wide witness. When the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us and we're walking with God, yes, there's some fear and some anxiety, a little trepidation. What are people going to think? What will that coworker think or say? What about that family member or friend? There's a little bit of that in our flesh, but boy, God puts a desire in our heart when we're walking with Him and growing in Him to be a witness for Him, to share the hope of Jesus with others. And today we're in Luke chapter 14, and in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is at a party. And this time, He's not with sinners and tax collectors. Well, we're all sinners. I guess, yes, He's with sinners. But in that sense of not His typical crowd, this time, Jesus is with the Pharisees. He's with a group of Pharisees. These are the uppity-ups, man. These are the folks who are religious leaders, politically influential, wealthy, dignified folks. And by the way, Jesus liked to socialize. I don't know if you see that or not in the Gospels or if you've noticed that. But Jesus liked to socialize. And every social event was an opportunity for Him to give the message of the kingdom of God. So He loved being around people so that He could share that hope that He brought to the world. And at this party, at one point, He's seated with the Pharisees, and one of the Pharisees speaks up here in Luke 14, and he says, man, it's going to be awesome when the kingdom of God comes to earth. I mean, isn't it going to be great when the kingdom comes? And Jesus says, hey, let me tell you a little story. There was a man who had a banquet, gave a banquet a lot like this, and he invited a whole bunch of people, and he sent his servant out to tell them that the party is ready. You listening? Now. Now, the point Jesus was making with him, think about this Pharisee and how ridiculous really that statement was. Jesus says, hey, basically he's telling him, hey, you're talking about like the kingdom, this abstract thing that's going to come later. Hey, the king is seated across the table from you right now. And you're unwilling to follow me. You're unwilling to trust in me. And so that's the thing about the kingdom of God. How many of you are grateful for heaven today? Glad you're going to heaven when you die. Come on, somebody. The kingdom of God is for sure, it's later, isn't it? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can know for sure that later in the future, that if you know Him today, if you turn from sin, place faith in Him, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in His kingdom or part of His kingdom forever. But here's the thing. The kingdom of God is also very much now, isn't it? Now. It's both now and later. How many of you remember now and later candy growing up? You remember now and later candy? Do I have some fans in here today of now and later candy? And man, I loved now and later candy growing up. And now and later candy, the idea behind the name is, you get some now, and you're going to want a whole lot more later. I mean, that's literally the idea behind the name of the candy. And here's the thing. In Jesus, when we get saved, We get the whole bucket. Anybody else like the whole bucket in Jesus today? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? When we get saved, man, we get the whole bucket. And we don't want to just enjoy His glory and His grace and His peace and His presence later. But we want to enjoy it now, don't we? Enjoy it now. And here's the thing. God's jug of glory never runs out. Isn't that good news today? It never runs out. That one might run out, but His glory, His grace will never run out. That's what eternal life is all about. And by the way, in just a moment, kiddos in the room, I'm going to give some candy out. So you be ready in just a moment. I want you to come up and get some candy from Pastor Derek. But before we do that, here's the deal. If Jesus, listening, this is good. If Jesus is not in my now, He's not going to be in my later. Are you listening? And that's what He's telling the Pharisees here. Oh, you know the Bible. You know all this religious stuff. You know the law of God. But you don't know Me. You're not letting Me into your now. The kingdom of God is not some abstract thing. It's about Jesus being King of your life. And that starts now, doesn't it? And by the way, today we're talking about going and making disciples. What does this now and later idea have to do with going and making disciples? Well, we're called to give the candy out. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? We're giving out hope in Jesus' name. We're giving out something much greater than candy. And so with that said, kiddos, come on. Come on, kids. Who wants candy today? I know you want some. I got some in my pockets ready to go. Don't be shy. Come on. I got it right here. Everybody give it up for our kiddos coming up getting some candy today. Come on. We got to give it out. Yes, sir. And you took the whole handful. That right there it was. That's all right. I'm going to get some more out in just a minute. Take you a piece of candy there, baby doll. Look at that. You like candy? I think that's banana. Who else is a banana fan up in here? You like some banana? Isn't that good stuff? Well, hi, Lamb. Look at there. I got some grape up in here. Look at that. You like grape? Why, Evelyn? You want the rest? You're the last one. You get the rest of it. Give it up for the kiddos. Aren't they awesome? Love our kiddos. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to give the gospel away. And like I said, we've got something a whole lot greater than candy that we give away, don't we? We're giving the hope of Jesus. We're talking about the difference. Listen, today we're talking about the difference between heaven and hell. Literally, separation from God forever. If Jesus is not in your now, He won't be in your later. And that's what motivates us to give it out, is to realize the kingdom of God, listen to me, is now. It's not something we're waiting on to come in some later day. Yes, the consummation will be then, but it's now. Jesus is King now. So let's invite as many people as we can to know the hope of Jesus so that they don't spend eternity separated from God, man. So let's dive in. Luke chapter 14 together. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse number 15. Now remember, we're at the party with the Pharisees, Jesus here. It says in verse 15, one of those reclined at the table with Him heard these things, and he said, blessed is everyone who's going to eat bread in that later day. The kingdom of God. Jesus says, hey, let me tell you a story. Lean in just a minute. A man once gave a great banquet. He invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is, what's the next word, church? Come on now. Everything is, say it again, now ready. It's ready. I'm seated across the table from you, Pharisee, right here, Jesus, King in the flesh, God in the flesh, right here. And so it's all about Me. It's not about some, you know, material possessions or, you know, a political influence or, you know, national kingdom, if you will, that overcomes Rome. No, it's about Me, Jesus says. Everything's ready now. But they all alike, now listen closely. They all alike began to make what? Excuses. Boy, that's our life, isn't it? That's my life at times. I make so many excuses at times for why I can't share Jesus with somebody, why I can't give to that or serve in this, you know, in this ministry or serve out in the community in this way for Jesus' name. I mean, we make so many excuses, don't we? But listen to what Jesus says about the excuses. He says, the first, they said, this one said, I bought a field. I've got to go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I bought five yoke of oxen, livestock to use for agriculture and labor there, and I've got to go examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, it says, then he became, you listening, angry. We love to talk about the grace and the mercy of our master, of our God. The master in the banquet here is our Father, Father God. But friends, listen to me. Our God is also a God of holiness, a God of justice, a God of wrath, and of anger. When the Bible talks about the anger of God, it's not an emotional response to our sin. Anybody else glad that God knows we're sinners today? And he is mindful, the scripture says, that we are but dust, and he shows us grace. The idea here, in the original language, it's in the aorist tense. What does that mean? It's a snapshot event. In other words, he said, okay, enough is enough. It's just like Noah, who preached for over 100 years, telling folks, get in the boat, get in the boat. Jesus is the boat. That's the picture. Got to get in the boat. Judgment's coming. Flood is coming. Get in the boat. And they ignored, except for Noah and his family. They get in, and it says, then the door was what? Closed. It was shut. And the rain came. The judgment of God's a picture. It's an eschatological picture of what's going to happen in the last days. The door was shut. Listen to me. There is going to come a day for those of us here this morning, those of you who don't know Jesus, whether you're in the room, you're watching online, listen to me. There will come a day where God says enough is enough. I'm done giving you opportunities. Boy, that is a heavy thought. The most heavy thought in mankind, isn't it, for us. One of these days, he's going to say, that's it. The timetable is complete. Judgment now will come on those that don't know Jesus. He says here that the master became angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly then. Those who were invited, they didn't come. Well, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. That's how we receive the gospel, by the way. We'll talk about that in just a moment. What a picture of you receiving it in humility. But the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. You remember that old hymn of the faith? There's room at the cross for you. You remember that? Those of you who grew up in the church? There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for, remember it? One. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There is room. Aren't you grateful there's room at the cross for an old sinner like me today and like you? No matter who you are or what you've done, no matter the sin or the brokenness in your life today, Jesus loves you with a love that you can't fathom. And he's inviting you in. Just turn from sin and trust in him. There's room at the cross for everyone who will come. The master said to his servant then, listen, here's the call for us today. Go out to the highways and the hedges. Go out everywhere and do what? And compel people. Persuade folks. Man, by the way, is my testimony persuasive? Does it really seem like I love the God that I say I love? And so go out and compel them. Whatever it takes, church. Isn't that right? Whatever it takes, short of not preaching the gospel or just putting gimmicks out there. Hey, but whatever it takes, we're going to get out here and we're going to give hope. We're going to give the gospel. That's the call of the deep Christian life. There is no such thing as depth without width. And he goes on to say, go out and compel them that my house may be filled. Compelling Christianity. The kingdom of God is now and later. So let's go give out, let's go give hope. Let's go give out the candy. Something much greater than that, right? It's so compelling Christianity. How do we live a life that compels others to come to Christ? Two quick truths I'll give to you this morning. But before I do that, there are two quick truths I want you to notice about the nature of the kingdom of God. First of all, notice the universal nature of the banquet here. He invited many, by the way, the story. Who's who? The master, that's God the Father. The servant, you listening? Initially, that's a picture of Jesus who came, and he's bringing in everybody, right, to the kingdom because he went to the cross for us. And so the many who were invited who said, I don't want the banquet, who is that? Well, that's the Orthodox Jewish people, those who had the law of God and the responsibility to give that law, but would not follow Jesus, didn't see him as the Messiah. And so the many, that's the Jewish people. Who's the poor, crippled, blind, and lame today? Yeah, good. Well, I saw one hand come up. That's us, right? That's the Gentiles. Now he's going to the highways and the hedges. What is that? It's a picture of now how the salvation of God is universal in nature. In other words, it's for anyone who will repent of sin and trust in Jesus. And so anyone who tells you that the gospel is only for certain types and kinds of people has a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel. The gospel is for anyone, anyone who will turn from sin and trust in Christ. The scripture says that Jesus is the propitiation, that means the atonement, for our sins, 1 John 2:2, but not just for ours, but also for the whole world. His death is sufficient to save anyone who will turn from sin and trust in him. Now, it's only those who repent of their sin and submit to Jesus and follow him that receive that eternal life. But his death is sufficient to save anyone. Do you believe that today? Come on, church. Isn't that right? But secondly, notice here also a right response to the master. What's the right response? Well, it's to come poor, crippled, blind, and lame. Listen to me. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. God doesn't need my intelligence. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need my influence in the community. He doesn't need my worldly success. He can build his own kingdom by his own power. And he invites, listen, so we're the ones that get blessed. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? There's no superstars in God's kingdom other than Jesus. And he invites us in. So what's the right response? It's like that song, Just As I Am. I believe Travis Cottrell wrote it, like a new version of that hymn. It says, I come broken, right, to be healed and mended. Man, I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. So, too, that's how we receive eternal life this morning. And so I have to humble myself before God. And so have you humbled yourself, submitted to the King? Jesus, you're King of my heart. That's what it means to be saved today. And if you have, then the kingdom of God, listen, is now. Spirit of God lives in you now. It's going to be consummated later, but he's in you now. So let's go give it out. Let's go give hope. Let's give the hope of the gospel. And if we're going to live compelling lives for the sake of Christ, so that others will come to know him and his kingdom will grow and be built, then there are two things we got to do here. Number one, we've got to lay down our excuses. Isn't that what it says here? That those who were invited, they all alike began to make excuses. And the idea here is the excuses that they give are ridiculous, aren't they? When you think about it, you're not going to purchase. He says, man, I got to go examine or assess the value of this property that I just bought. Are you going to buy property that you don't assess the value for? Come on, church. Right? I mean, Jesus is kind of leaning into how ridiculous, my excuses, and yours, how our excuses are for why we don't worship and serve God. So I got to go assess the value of this property. Well, you just got an appraisal on it because you just closed on it the other day, right? What do you mean you got to assess the value? What are you talking about? And then the 5 yoke of oxen, man, I got to go examine them. Hey, farmers in the room, are you going to buy livestock you don't examine ahead of time? No, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you're going to go and you're going to view those animals and you're going to know whether or not they're strong enough, in this case, oxen, to do the work that needed to be done. I've married a wife and I cannot come. You mean, now some of you men may do this, but I would say most don't, right? You're not going to take an invitation to go to a party with your buddies on your wedding day. I mean, come on, you know what I'm saying? Now, I guess a few of you did that. I hope you didn't do that, So you're not going to take some invitation to some party that on your wedding day or that's going to conflict with your marriage ceremony. And so the idea here is Jesus is saying, how absurd, he's leaning into how absurd in light of eternity. In worldly eyes, oh yeah, it might make some sense to the world, to humanity. But in terms of eternity, like how absurd is it, the excuses we make for not preparing, not living for Jesus now so that he's in my later. And so how absurd. And excuses here, by the way, the word in the original language, it carries the idea not just, this is good, of a well-intentioned request. The idea in the original language speaks of, the word means a refusal or a rejection. This is good. Every time we make an excuse for why I can't get baptized, why I can't get involved in the church, why I can't serve, why I can't give, why I can't worship. And I'm not telling you we go to heaven because we do those things. Aren't you glad that Jesus did everything for us on the cross? We do those things out of worship, out of response to him. But every time we make that excuse for why I can't submit to Jesus and follow him, it's a rejection of the gospel. And every time we say, I'm going to do it later, you listening? It's a refusal of the gospel. Boy, that's a big, heavy thought, isn't it? Some of you today, you think, well, man, my intentions are good. Man, I want to serve God, but I'm just not ready. Well, when are you going to be ready? We're all sinners. That's why Jesus went to the cross. You're never going to be ready. You're never going to clean yourself up. You're never going to be good enough. It's not about your sufficiency. It's about our Savior's sufficiency. It's about what he did on the cross for us and his resurrection power. So quit trying to clean up. Quit trying to do better. Quit putting it off. Maybe it's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. But really in your heart, you're like, I'm not sure that I really want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Like, you know what I mean? I got to give up this stuff. Yeah, you got to give up the stuff. It's not your kingdom anymore. I mean, that's what it means to be saved. So we got to lay down the excuses. It reminds me of the story of Deion Sanders. Right? Y'all know Deion Sanders? Right? Coach at Jackson State University. He was one of the greatest athletes of my generation coming up. And incredible athlete. He's still the only person to ever hit a home run in the major leagues and score a touchdown in the NFL in the same week. That's pretty cool, you know? By the way, Deion Sanders is an outspoken believer. I don't know if y'all realize that or not, but it's a pretty cool deal. And Deion Sanders was interviewed by Esquire magazine, and they asked him about his success. What do you attribute your success to? How did you become so successful? And in the article, he talked about growing up in Fort Myers, Florida. And it's interesting what he said. He said, listen, he said, there were all kinds of dudes around me, man, that could run as fast as I could. They could jump as high as I could. You know, that were just as talented as I was. He says, but man, they didn't want to put in the work. They didn't want to discipline themselves. He said, this is what the interesting part. He says, so I call them the Idas. The Idas. I'd have been in the NFL if I'd have gone to practice, right? I'd have been in the NBA, man, if my coach hadn't, you know, been so mean to me, right? Man, I'd have made millions of dollars, man, if it wasn't for, you know, that teacher's always keeping me down, right? And he said every time they would whine and complain, every time they went to the streets, I went to practice. Every time that they, they started fooling around, went to the playground, he said, I went to study hall. And I got my schoolwork done. And so the Idas, there's a whole lot of Idas in the church, isn't there? You know, I'd have got baptized, Lord, but, you know, I just wasn't quite ready. You know, I would have gave to that work, to that mission work or to that ministry, but, you know, we just didn't think we had enough. You know, I'd have served if I'd have had more time. Oh, the excuses that we make. And what we don't realize is when we make those excuses, we're rejecting, if you're not saved here today, you're rejecting the gospel every time you make an excuse. You're rejecting Jesus. But for children of God, every excuse we make for why we can't serve, worship, and live as a witness for God, man, we're rejecting his call upon our life, the very purpose of our salvation, the very purpose of our existence now as a child of God. He talks here about two excuses. We'll lean into these, and then we'll share a second point, and we're done this morning. First of all, it's finances. Wow, we use money as an excuse not to serve God, don't we? Come on, church, don't we? So many people do. Man, I got this job, Pastor Derek. Listen, and this job, I can't miss this job. I got to lean into it, man, because when this is, you know, helping us pay our bills, got to take care of my family. Well, yeah, you got to take care of your family, but the greatest way we take care of our family is saying Jesus is first. By the way, he said in Matthew 6:33, if we seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, what's he going to add to us? Come on, church. Everything, all of these things, every need you have when you put him first in giving, in serving, in worship, he's going to provide for you. Anybody else know God's a good provider today? Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? He's a good provider. And so, man, we trust him. So you just got to trust him. You know, I got this business, Pastor Derek. Listen, I got to go to this business meeting and this conference and this thing. And, man, I got to lean into this. Well, man, you're becoming a workaholic, and now your marriage is falling apart. You're not you spending any time with your kids, much less serving God. Get plugged into his church. Right? Oh, Pastor Derek, man, my kid can't miss this, man. They might not make the middle school team or the high school team. So we got to do this travel ball. We got to put, and by the way, a whole lot of money in that. Can I get an amen from some parents that do this? You know what I'm talking about? Some money up in that. And by the way, that's all it's about. Are y'all listening? I'm going to help some parents today because we've done it. That's all it's about. There are people making millions off us because we're dumb. Are y'all listening to me? Aren't we? We're dumb half the time. We pay for a college education with the money we're putting in sports. If God calls us to sports, it's a good thing, but it can't be the number one thing. Are you listening? It can't be. Can't be. It's so much money we put, oh, Pastor Derek, we can't give. And the next picture, man, I see them like, you know, in Panama City spending $2,000 so their kid can play baseball. Like, really? So you can't tithe? And I'm not trying to be condemning or judgmental today. I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you. I just want to encourage us, because in this passage, is he talking about the difference between heaven and hell today? Come on, somebody. You don't go to heaven because you give money to ministry. You listening to me? And my kids play sports too. But Jesus has got to be first in that. If the sports are keeping you from serving, worshiping, and putting Jesus first, and living as a witness for him, then you got to change. Something's got to change. Something's got to go. It's amazing how freeing the word no is. Isn't that right? No, I ain't doing that. We're just going to trust God. God to work in that. And so finances, but then secondly, he talks about family matters. And man, this is hard. This is heavy. He says, man, I can't come because I've married a wife. It's amazing how the relationships closest to us, isn't it interesting how they shape our life? And sadly, I've watched throughout the years so many, especially young people who then move into relationships and get married. I've watched so many young people completely miss out on God's best for their life over one wrong decision with who they're going to spend the rest of their life with. And today, listen, if you're here and you're married and your spouse doesn't want to come to church and doesn't know God, listen, you got to lean into that. I'm not telling you to leave that marriage. You got to lean into that. You got to pray hard and you got to be the gospel in that place. You got to sleep in the bed you made. Come on now. You just have to. But here's the deal. God's with you in that. You listening? But for all of us, listen, show me your five closest friends. I'll show you your future. So who are you surrounding yourself with? And we make all these excuses, right? For why we can't serve God. What's your excuse today? Listen, God wants us to come and just lay it down. Lay it down. God, I can't share the gospel with that person. They're going to get upset. Man, lay that down. Just be faithful. I can't give to that ministry. I can't serve. Man, lay that down. Lay that down before the Lord. All of our excuses, we're just refusing God's call on our life. So lay them down today. Lay them down. But secondly and lastly this morning, if we're going to live compelling lives for the gospel, inviting others in, we've got to secondly labor. We've got to labor for the master. Not for our salvation, but because of it. Being a witness for Christ, living for him, is work. It's work, but it's good work, isn't it? And you're going to be tired at times when you're serving God and you're putting others before yourself. If, by the way, deep Christian life, let me give you one word that I think might possibly could best explain the difference between the deep and the shallow Christian life. You ready for this? I would encourage you to write this down. One word. Others. Others. Everything starts to change when your life is about God and others long before it's about yourself. Others. It's amazing how your perspective changes. It's amazing how joy comes into your heart when you start living to serve other people, living to bless God's church, living to bless that neighbor who's in need, you know, living for your family before yourself. Others. And here he tells the servant, the servant's a picture of Jesus, but it's also a picture of who we're supposed to be, isn't it, church? Servants. Not superstars. Listen, it is a high honor just to be called a servant in God's kingdom. Can I get an amen on that from somebody today? Just call me a servant, Lord. Just let me be a bondservant. Paul, right in the New Testament, his most favorite title for himself was a bondservant of Christ. He set me free, but I've come back now and submitted to the master of my own desire because he's so good. He's so good to me and he's so awesome. So a servant, who are we? We're servants. Listen, today, man, you're a servant in God's kingdom, and he's given us resources, time, money, attention, effort, experiences of life, intelligence, giftedness, talents. He's given us all this stuff to use to build his kingdom, not my own. And so we're called to labor, to labor. He says here, go out to the highways and hedges, man. Go out all over the place and compel them. We're persuading them with love and grace, right? Not with law and condemnation, but with love and with grace, saying, listen, yes, we're all sinners. Yes, your sin has separated you from God. The world has to know they're lost before they can get saved. Yes, that's a part of it. But let me tell you something. Jesus went to the cross. He loves you with an unfathomable love. His grace is amazing. And so come to him today. He took your punishment on the cross, that which separates us from God. He took that punishment, took our sin there, placed in a tomb, but he rose from the dead. Whosoever calls on his name is saved, forgiven, made right with God, and can enjoy the kingdom of God now and later. Right now. So let's labor. And he says here, go out and compel them that my house may be filled. It's interesting in the original language, it's in the passive voice there. The idea is that the house would be filling. In other words, all right, this is good. While we're out there talking to folks about Jesus and we're serving, it's the Father who's filling the house. Anybody else grateful that it's not my responsibility to fill the house? Whether or not folks get saved is not necessarily on the preacher, if you will. God's the one who does the saving, but we're the ones, what are we called to do? To do the sharing, to go out and to invite folks to know Jesus. Now, there is somewhat of an idea here that where there's no invitation, there's no participation. What does that mean? If we're not out inviting, folks ain't coming. Are you listening? God's filling the house with whom he will, but our responsibility is to go and compel, to go and to invite. So what's he calling us to do? Church, listen, what's he calling us to do? You ready? What does it look like to live a compelling life? If you're saved today, you've got a compelling story, whether you believe it or not. You say, man, my testimony's boring. My story's boring. No, it's not. God saved you. You say, man, he didn't bring me out of a life of drugs and depression and anxiety and alcoholism and all this craziness, man, that some people talk, well, that's okay. What did he keep you from then? Lean into that. We all have a compelling story. So what are we to do? Number one, do something. Just do something. Pray. Say, okay, God, what would you have us to do? And then do it. Step out and obey. God, what ministry would you have me to serve in? What money would you have us to give to bless missions and the work of God here and around the world? God, who would you have me to share with? Just do something, which leads to number two. Say something. You see it? You get the sense of that here, don't we? Go out to the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. Don't sit and just plan and strategize and argue about it. No, go. Do something. Say something. And we sense the urgency here too, don't we? The time is when, church? There's that word again. Come on now. The time is, say it again, it's right now. Right now. Is Jesus in your now? Is he in your now? Friend, listen to me. Heaven's not going to be in your later if Jesus is not in your now. Is he king of your heart now? That's what gives us the assurance. That rock solid, unshakable assurance. That I'm going to be with him later. And he's going to be with me. And if so, church, listen to me. Are we out here? Listen, you have a compelling story, whether you believe it or not. If you're saved, you got something to say. And so, man, we're called to go out and to give something much, much greater than candy, right? To go out and give the hope of Jesus, eternal life. To give it out to folks and see God save them and him fill the house. But we're called to go and compel and invite. Listen, are we going to be faithful to do it?